So John 3 and Numbers 21. And obviously the theme for our new year is lift up the name of Jesus. And of course the theme verse is John 12, 32. And of course we'll read that during the sermon. And again, I don't know that we'll have a theme every year. It's just worked out that way in my praying and my preparing, trying to do what the Lord wants me to do. Last year, we grow, and I hope you grew last year, and I tried my best to grow, and we ought not stop growing just because that's not the theme anymore. Same thing here. We ought to lift up the name of Jesus. That's what Christians are supposed to do. But I just wanted to go ahead and say this. Just because we have a theme, and just because we're promoting it, pushing it, things like that, I just want to let you see a little bit of my heart this morning as far as philosophy of church. There's some pastors out there that let me say this statement. There's some people that they use their people to build their church. Some preachers, they use their people to build their church. But there are some preachers, which I try to be, and let their church build their people. Because sitting right here in front of me is more important than any number that we could ever reach. Okay? And so, I've seen preachers, we got to have this, we got to have this, and it's all that, so they could go to a preacher's meeting and say we had this many baptized. And nothing wrong with being excited about that. I'm excited about the six that got baptized last year. Praise the Lord. But that's not what it's all about, just so we can say a number. It's about each individual. That's why I said, here we grow. I wanted all you to grow, not this way, but spiritually. If we grow numerically, praise the Lord. But the way I look at it, even if we, some of us are getting closer to going to heaven. So, amen. So if we go down in number, this is still a great church. We still got a great God. So that's what I'm saying. I don't want you to think I'm saying theme, so we can just bust it out, things like that. Now, I am going to say some things today about the church being full, because the Bible says something about the church being full. But that's not my philosophy. I want us to lift up the name of Jesus so each individual can be what God wants them to be. Right? And so again, numerically, praise the Lord for it. But don't try to think, oh, he's one of those preachers that's just going to push, knock this wall out, build this, we got to get this certain number. No, I just want each person that's here to lift up Jesus. And if you'll do that, you'll be blessed beyond all measure. So let me say that again. I want to be the church that you, or a preacher that lets the church build the people. For instance, if we start a new Sunday school class, it's not so we can have more numbers. It's so that that person that's teaching it can study this word and help other people. It's about the people. So we got to use the church to build the people, not the people to build the church. Because again, I've seen them. We got to have this, got to have this, and just drive, and they're just wore slap out. They're weary in the way, all that kind of stuff. So enough said about that. Lift up the name of Jesus. That's our theme for the year. We're in John chapter 3. Look at verse 14. John 3, verse 14. And it says here, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so. So those two words there, and as and even so must be the Son of Man. Obviously, that's talking about Jesus, be lifted up. So, and we might not say and as in our lingo today. We might not say even so in our lingo today. We might say just like. All right? So if we were saying this verse today, just like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, just like that, Jesus has to be lifted up. And so the Bible says in John 3, 14, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, just like, must be the Son of Man lifted up. So it was in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that Jesus to be lifted up. And where it's found is in Numbers 21. So flip there, Numbers 21. We won't take time to read it, but I'm going to paraphrase verses 1 through 4 here. And in verses 1 through 4 of Numbers chapter 21, this is where that story that John 3:14 is talking about took place. Numbers 21, it says here, God answered this prayer and delivered them from Arad, the king of the Canaanites. So in verse 1, they're going to battle and they're asking God, you got to deliver us from this. And if you will, they were playing let's make a deal with God. And then it says here, and they were continuing on their journey. After they won, God gave them that victory. And they continued on their journey going to the promised land. And it says here also in verses 1 through 4 that they became discouraged because of the way. They became discouraged because of the way. Again, when you get saved and you're like, I'm going to be a great Christian. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. Once you determine to do that, look out. The devil's coming after you. If you'll just, you know, the devil doesn't want you to get saved. But if you do get saved, he says, just be quiet about it. Be an undercover Christian. Be incognito. Don't let anybody know about it. And I'm okay with it. He'll leave you alone. But if you're going to start lifting up the name of Jesus and you're going to make it public that you're a Christian, look out. The devil's going to make sure you get discouraged in the way. He's going to bring sickness. He's going to bring objects in your life, things like that. And you could, if you try to live in the flesh, get discouraged by the way. Then the second thing it says here, and they begin to speak against God and Moses. So they won the battle. God delivered them in that battle. And then they're on the way to the promised land, and they got to talking. And they got to talking about God. Well, if God was really loved us, and if God was really concerned with us, and then they threw in the preacher. Yep, they threw him in there too. Oh yeah, and Moses too. You know, he's always, you know, up on, you know, he's excited about stuff, and he's always pushing, and he's saying God will do this for us, things like that. Yeah, God and Moses. So, you know, puts a target on the back. So we see here they got discouraged in the way because Satan was causing things to happen, and then they became verbal about it. They spake against God and against Moses. And then it says here, the next part says here, and they made it sound worse than it really was. Look at verse 5. And this is the way we do. You know, if we got a hangnail, we need a leg amputation. Or if we got a snotty nose, we got COVID times 12. You know, that's what we do. We're just going to make it worse. And this is what they said. In verse 5 it says there's no water and there's no bread. And then it goes on to say, and we hate this light bread. I thought you said there was no bread. It's right there. There's no water, there's no bread. We're going to die, Moses. You brought us out here. I wish we could just go back. And by the way, we hate this light bread. I thought you said there was no bread. So this is what happens when we stop lifting up the name of Jesus. We'll get discouraged. We'll start speaking against God and even the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and the youth director and the deacons. And I mean, it's all their faults. All right. And then we'll start exaggerating. There's no water, there's no bread. We're just going to die. Oh yeah, by the way, I hate this light bread. Look at verse 6. God said, punish them, or he punished them by sending them fiery serpents. Again, we might not say that. We would probably say poisonous snakes. But he sent fiery serpents to bite them. And they started dying. So we see here they complained enough about the way and about the preacher and about, you know, we're going to die. That God's like, all right, here you go. And he lets serpents start biting them. And of course, they started dying. In verse 7, it says, then they came to the preacher. Our bad. Oops. We've messed up. And we've made God upset. Please go to him on our behalf. And you ask him, what can we do to not die? We'll put up with the light bread. I think he provided water out of a rock last time we needed some. And, you know, God can do it. And they started repenting a little bit. And they asked the preacher to help. In verse 9. And so God told Moses, make a brass serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up. And whoever looks at it will live. They won't die from their snake bite. And so, of course, God's man did what God told him to do. And he put the serpent up there and he lifted it up. And he told him, all you got to do is look. And those snake bites that you're dealing with will be healed. They'll be done away with. And so just like when, you know, a preacher or anybody else that's teaching the Word of God says something, sometimes people go, I wonder if that's really true. Well, I wonder if that would really work. Or sometimes they're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Look at a brass serpent. What's that going to do? I would have went to the hospital, you know, cut it, had somebody suck the poison out, spit it out, you know. I would have went and got vaccinated, or I'd have done this, or I'd have done that. Trust God, look at this, that's about the dumbest thing. And you know what happened to those people? They died. They didn't do what they were told. They died. Same thing. All you got to do is ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins, come into your heart and save your soul, and he'll take you to heaven. When you die, that's about the dumbest thing. My good needs to outweigh my bad, or I need to give this much money, or I need to light this many candles, or I need to get baptized 42,000 times, and that's the way I can get to heaven. No. God said, I'm going to lift up my son, even as, just like the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and if you'll look unto him, you'll go to heaven. Same thing here. So some of them was like, well, my cousin died, or my best friend over here, he died, and they didn't look. So I think I'll just look. What's it going to hurt? You know, I'll go to church one time, or I'll read this, or I'll do that. And lo and behold, they lived. Because the Bible said if you just got a faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And so if they just put enough faith in there, well, if God said to look at it, and I'll just, real quick like, don't want anybody to see me. All right, and they looked, and they lived. And then there are some that said, if that's what God said, if that's what the man of God says, Moses said, I'm going to do it. And they looked at the serpent. So we see here, if he is lifted up just like the serpent, in John 12:32, that's our theme verse for the year. If you want to turn over there, you can. If not, I'll read it to you. And just like these verses says, and as even so, here's another one. And I, this is Jesus speaking. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. So there's Jesus' promise. Just like Moses gave him a promise, if you'll just raise that serpent up and if everybody will look at it, they will be healed of their snake bite. My son is going to be lifted up from the earth and he's going to draw all men. He's going to do it. So, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. So, and I, not Mary, nothing against Mary. She was a godly lady. She was picked by God to give birth to his son. But it didn't say if Mary be lifted up, she will draw all men. If we just keep on down the list there, not I, if I the Pope be lifted up, or I the priest be lifted up, I'll throw me in there. I the Baptist preacher be lifted up. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if any other religion be lifted up. No, it says if I, Jesus, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He's the only way to heaven. And so if he gets lifted up, we're going to see a couple of sub-points here underneath this one, by the way of introduction. If he be lifted up, it says here, he will draw all men. I will save sinners. If I be lifted up, I will save sinners. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. So if he be lifted up, he will draw all men. In other words, I can't go convict anybody. I can't go save anybody. But I can go lift up Jesus and say, hey, if you'll just put your trust in him, he's the one that died on the cross. He's the one that rose from the grave. He's the one that will save your soul. If he be lifted up, he will save sinners. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way to heaven. So if he be lifted up, he will save sinners. Number two, if he be lifted up, he will build his church. Matthew 16:18, and I say, Jesus, also unto thee, thou art Peter. So he said, thou art Peter. And he didn't say, and upon that rock. No, he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock. He was talking about himself. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So again, I'm for visitation programs. I'm for Sunday school programs. I'm for an online presence. I'm for King's Kids and Teen Group on Wednesday night. I'm for Vacation Bible School. I'm for any revival that we have. But all of that stuff right there is to be doing one thing. Because none of those are going to build a church by itself. You can visit all day long. But if you don't lift up the name of Jesus, he's not going to draw any men. If you have a Sunday school program out the wazoo, it's not going to build a church. But if that Sunday school program lifts up Jesus, he will draw all men. So that's what the Bible says. If I be lifted up, I will build my church. Number three, and not only will he save sinners, if I be lifted up, I'll save sinners. If I be lifted up, I will build my church. Thirdly, if I be lifted up, I will forgive and heal their lands. So our nation is in a pretty big mess these days. And people are praying for it. I'm for it. Pray for it all you want to. But the only way that it's going to be fixed is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. So if we humble ourselves and lift him up, then, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their lands. So if he be lifted up, he will save sinners. He will build his church, and he will forgive and heal. Thirdly, or fourthly, if he be lifted up, He will answer prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's the one that's to be lifted up. Again, I've taken counseling courses. I've read the Bible. I've actually counseled, things like that. But anybody that comes to see me or anybody that I talk to, I don't say, I have all the answers. I've got it figured out. Look at all the degrees on my wall. No. If you come see me, all I'm going to do is lift up Jesus. I can't fix this problem, but I know who can. I can give you verses of someone that can. So if I be lifted up, I will answer thee. So lift up the name of Jesus. And as, even so, just like the serpent was lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. I will save sinners. I will build a church. I will heal and forgive lands. I will answer prayers. So, and when we do this, John 8:28 says this. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So even Jesus, when He's lifted up, you know what He's going to say is, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just want to point you to my Heavenly Father. So it's a pattern. When somebody comes to me and says, will you lead me to the Lord? Or will you do this? Or will you pray for me? It's not me. It's Him. I'm just going to lift Him up. And so we see in Philippians 2:7, Jesus, but made Himself of no reputation, but took on Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So Jesus humbled Himself, took on the form of a serpent. So, again, in a lot of things that I see these days as a pastor that I try not to be, a pastor should never say, I have all the answers. Even though I can hold all the answers, I can read all the answers, but they're all Jesus' answers, not my answers. A pastor shouldn't say, just come to me, I can do anything, I can help you. And I've seen a lot of them get to that point. And they shouldn't say, well, I always do. No, they should say what Jesus said. they shouldn't say, well, I know that there's nobody, and I've heard them say this on TV mostly, that there's nobody that's got a touch of God like me. You know, and then what they want you to do is get your checkbook out and write them a check. Why? Because nobody got a touch of God on them like I do. That's not what it's about. It's about that. If any man of God worth his salt, that's all he should do. Don't look here. Look there. Don't listen here. Listen there. Don't do it for me. Do it for Him. That's what a preacher's supposed to do. We're supposed to be the under-shepherd, the overseer. Let's do what the Bible says. Not, I've got it all figured out. I got a touch. All you got to do is pay this and pay that. No. We should lift up Jesus. We ought to say, well, the Bible says. Well, Jesus gave us the example in the Word. If you want blessing and power, you got to lift up Jesus, not the preacher. And one thing I have issue with Bible colleges out there today. I went to one, and our slogan when I was in Bible college was training specialist for the ministry. I didn't like it. We're not specializing in anything. And that's what they said, a guy that's specializing in heart transplants or specializing in diseases or special, that's what we want you to do. We want you to specialize in the ministry. The best thing you can do in the ministry is that right there. No class is going to make me special. Huh? But I want to be a servant. And I've heard colleges say, if we could just get students to come here, we got it. We got it going on like Donkey Kong at this college right here. And if they'll just show up on the campus, they're just going to be unbelievable. Don't send my kid there. But if you got some teachers there to say, hey, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But in my classes, I'm going to do that right there. I'd send my kid there. Because that's where they're going to get the answer, not becoming like Brother So-and-so or Miss So-and-so. Oh, they just got it all going on. What happened? Took Jesus off the throne, put you up there. So we see that if you got to lift up the name of Jesus, not your college, or not your power, and not your knowledge, and not your things like that. So if we just come here, let us do all that kind of stuff, we'll get them ready for it. No. Just like Jesus said, hey, if you lift me up, what you're going to see is somebody doing God's will, somebody promoting God. That's all you're going to see. John 4:34 says this, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So even Jesus, when he came to earth, didn't say, hey, I got it going on. Just look right here. No, if you see me and you lift me up, what you're going to see is somebody that's saying, my will is to do his will. My meat is to do what he wants me to do. John 3:38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to the will of him that sent me. So lift up the name of Jesus, even so, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he must be lifted up. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men into salvation, into the church, into forgiveness, into answered prayers. When? Just lift him up. When you do that, you'll see that that's the pattern that he's given us. And number four, by the way, of introduction, how? How should we lift up the name of Jesus? And it says here in Psalm 34, 1 through 3, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. So anything that I'm going to talk about is lifting up Jesus. Lifting up Jesus. And in verse 2 it says here, my soul shall make her, talking about my soul, boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. I'm going to talk about him continually. And I'm going to boast about him. And in verse 3, this was on our wedding program and our verse when we got married. And my wife had that made, so she wanted me to let everybody know that's on loan for a year, okay? Because that goes along with our theme, but she wants it back. But anyway, she had it made. But it says right there, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever, or together. That's what I want Lighthouse Baptist Church to be. That's what I want my wife and I's marriage to be. That's what I want my family to be. Magnify the Lord and let us exalt his name together. So that brings me to my main points. Number one, lift up the name of Jesus in your private life. And in your private life. Now, all of us have a private life. You know, oh, no, I'm an open book. We all have a private life. And I can prove it in the Bible. Thou shalt, it says here, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. All of us got secrets that only God knows. All of us do. And it says in Psalm 90, verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So God knows the secret heart, secret compartments of the heart. He knows our secret sins. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So this year, when we go to lift up the name of Jesus, we're not coming as a perfect Christian and saying, I got this, God. You can take a seat on this one. You got super Christian right here, and I'm just going to go around and lift your name up. No, he knows the secret heart, secret compartments of the heart, our secret sins. God knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, I know me, and my wife knows me pretty good, but she don't know me like I know me. But according to the Bible, God knows me more than I even know me. And he knows that. So we're going to have to start lifting Jesus up in our private life. So again, that would be maybe like our devotional life, our private life, our relationship with just us and God. He knows us. So the Bible says, when you pray in Matthew 6:9, when you pray, this is your private life. Now, the Bible says you ought, I mean, there's public prayer and all that kind of stuff, and I'm glad for it. I'm glad for people praying in public when they pray for their food. I'm glad when events start and people pray, things like that. I'm glad for that. But the Bible says here, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What are we supposed to do in our private life? We're supposed to lift up the name of Jesus. So when we come, here's the example. This is called the Lord's Prayer. This is our how we pray. First thing we should do is tell him how awesome he is. Tell him how amazing he is. He deserves it. So that's how we lift up the name of Jesus in our private life. In other words, we say, dear Heavenly Father. We say, dear gracious Heavenly Father. Dear Lord Jesus. However you start it. And here's the danger. I say when I pray, I pretty much say the same thing when I first start. But the Bible warns me about vain repetition. So I ought not say, "Dear Heavenly Father" or "Dear Lord Jesus" in a vain repetition, just to be saying it. I got to really mean it, and I got to be really thinking it to lift up His name. If I'm just going through the motions, that's not lifting His name. No, we ought to humble ourselves and pray. Don't let it become vain repetition. And then the rest of that verse, for your much speaking. There are certain people you don't want to ask to pray right before the supper, because they're much speaking. And my stomach's going, "Rawr, I need some food." And they're praying for the missionaries. And they're praying for Aunt Susie's ingrown toenail. And you're like, "Oh, my soul, much speaking." Again, nothing wrong with praying for all that stuff. And we ought to pray. But when we pray, we ought to start with lifting up the name of Jesus. When I come to Him, I don't come to Him, "Hey, yo, big man upstairs." No, sir. Reverently, humbly, bow the knee, bow the head. "Dear Lord, dear Heavenly Father, dear gracious Heavenly Father, I don't even deserve to be talking to You. But thank You for the privilege that I can. I want to lift up the name of Jesus in my private life." Why? Because He knows all the secret things about us. Matthew 6:6 says this, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." That's how we pray in our private life. We go into the closet, right? Or we go to that private place and we pray. And say, "God, You're unbelievable. I don't even deserve to be talking to You. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for allowing me to serve You. I mean, we could be there a while." You hear people like, "I prayed for hours." And you're like, "I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed 3 minutes. Well, how about starting by lifting up His name? And you'll probably be there a while. And that's what it says. When you enter in your closet and when you're in that secret place, in that private time with God, He's going to reward you openly. Now, don't let it backfire. I've seen people like this. "Whoo, tired. Got up at 4:30 this morning. Prayed for an hour. Just went right out the window." It's supposed to be a secret. And then, you see it these days. They got their Bible open. They got their coffee cup. "Just spent time with God. Post." It's not a secret anymore. Your four followers know that you prayed this morning. Goodness gracious. It says go into your closet in the secret. Praise God for that secret place. Listen to what Psalm 91:1 says. "He that dwelleth." In other words, it's not just a second on the way out the door. "God bless me today. Help everything go good." And if that's all you got time for, that's fine. But it says here, "He that dwelleth." In other words, spends a lot of time in the secret place of the Most High, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It might have been safer for you to spend a little bit of time in that secret place than to just head out without it, without that shadow of protection. Don't pollute that secret place. Listen to Ezekiel 7:22. "My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place. For their robbers shall enter into it and defile it." So we can have that secret place, and we're going to see some things that God doesn't want us to bring there. He wants us to leave them out. Don't pollute His secret place. Matthew 5:23. "Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there remembereth that a brother hath aught against thee, leave it." Don't you pollute it. Get out of here. Go get right with your brother, then come back and pray. Because the Bible says in Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me." It's a waste of time. Don't bring that in here and pollute my secret place. 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Y'all just had the big knockdown, drag-out discussion. I know you don't call them fights or arguments, but you had a knockdown, drag-out discussion. And then you go into the secret place. God's going to say, hey, don't pollute this with that. Go fix it. Don't even let the sun go down upon your wrath before you come up in here. We're talking about that private life. Lift up the name of Jesus in your private life. When you pray. Secondly, when you give. Matthew 6:4. That thine alms may be in secret, and the Father which seeth it in secret shall open or reward thee openly. He saw you praying in secret. He's going to reward you openly. He saw you giving in secret. That's why those offering envelopes are down there. And you don't write down, I'm giving this much today. Just letting all y'all know. Brother Raji and ladies, y'all don't even have to count this. I'm just letting y'all know. Put that down beside my name. That's not how you do it. You do it secretly. The Bible does talk about how God blessed you this week. You lay aside, you get your tithe, you bring it, you give it to God. But do it secretly. Do it secretly, and God will reward you openly. Your private life. When you pray, when you give, Matthew 6:4, when thou givest thou alms, be in secret. And when God see it in secret, He'll reward you openly. Matthew 6:3, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand knoweth what thy right hand doeth. That's how secret it is. Keep it on the DL, as they say. I think they used to say that. But anyway, you don't tell everybody. Keep it low. Keep it secret, and God rewards you openly. God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God wants a faithful giver. 1 Corinthians 16:2. It says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. God likes a faithful giver. And God will bless the giver. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God will bless openly that those that do it in secret. So bless God, or lift up the name of Jesus in your private life when you pray, when you give. And I don't know that we do a lot of this, but again, if we do, it should be a secret. When you fast. When you fast. You say, well, I've never even fasted. I would suggest fasting before you ask a lady to marry you. That's pretty serious. Okay, you ought to make sure you get God's will on it. Fast about that. Again, if you're going to take a job, a change of career, that might be something that you fast. But you don't tell anybody. You do it in secret. What does the Bible say? Matthew 6:17-18. But when thou hast fasted, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Now, if I go 40 minutes without eating, I'm famished. You probably can see it on my face. I'm like, oh, what's wrong with you? I'm starving. Well, you're not starving, but you're hungry, all right? But that's what I'm saying. That's what it says. Wash your face. Keep it a secret between you and God. Verse 18, and thou appearest not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Pray secretly. God will reward you openly. Give secretly. God will reward you openly. Fast secretly. You don't tell people. So, not only should we lift up the name of Jesus in our private life in praying and giving and fasting, when we read the Bible. When we read the Bible. Proverbs 9:17. Bread. Talking about the bread of life. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So, we lift up the name of Jesus by reading His Word. Psalm 138:2 says this, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Jesus loves that book. He says he magnified it over his name. So when we read it in secret, it's pleasant. Isaiah 55:11. So when my word goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please and shall prosper in the things which I have sent. So God wants his word to not come back to him void. If it goes out to the Ethiopian eunuch, it came back with a saved Ethiopian eunuch. If it goes out to the disciples, it came back with strength for the disciples, you know, getting the gospel out. When his word goes out, he wants it to come back not void. So, that bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And lastly, our works for God. They should be done in private. Again, not sometimes they have to be public, but we should keep it as private as possible. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says this, for God shall bring every work into judgment with the secret things, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So if we serve God for self-gratification, the Bible says it's going to be burned up. If we serve it for man to see, it's going to be burned up. So lift up the name of Jesus in your private life where God can see it, not man. Not man. Now the second one. Lift up the name of Jesus in your personal life. Now we put personal and family up there to differentiate. Your private life is your time between you and God. You and God only. Lift His name up in that time. Do what He wants you to do. Secondly, we see here, lift up the name of Jesus in your personal life. This is to be seen of men. What we talked about a while ago, praying and giving and preaching, or praying and fasting and reading the Bible, that should be private between you and God. You don't do that to be seen of men. But here's one, lift up the name of Jesus in your personal life. Listen to what Matthew 5:16 says. Let your light so shine. What's the next two words? Anybody know? Before men. So there are some things that we're supposed to do that men can see. And it says here, let your light so shine. Not just a little bit. I mean magnify it. Put a magnifying glass on it. Watch me. Just like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Not, I got it all together. I've apprehended. I'm the man. Just follow me. No. He said, I'm going to do all that privately, but there is some things I'm going to do that people can see in my personal life. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Anybody that knew me before I got saved and now they see what I'm doing, God gets the glory. I went back to my elementary school that I went to, or I guess it was maybe a middle school, seventh and eighth grade, middle school, and apologized to every teacher that was still alive and then everyone that was still teaching when I got out of Bible college and said, you know, I just came by to say I am so sorry that I was such a jerk in your class and such a wicked, wicked example in our school. And I just want to let you know that I'm a preacher of the gospel now. I mean, jaws dropped. And I needed to ask forgiveness. But what happened? They glorified God. Because they knew. I didn't turn over enough new leaves. I didn't get right enough to become what God is using me to do today. That's what we're supposed to do. Let your light so shine. Lift up Him. And other people will glorify God. Your life, or you lift up the name of Jesus in your private life. Whatever you do in secret, God's going to reward openly. You lift up the name of Jesus in your personal life and others will see it. And we need that private life so we can have the personal life that we need to have. You're not going to so shine if you hadn't done the private time. So lift Him up in your private life. Then He will help you in your personal life. Our wives, our husbands, our kids, our closest friends can see right through the fakeness. So if you just say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf in 2024, I'm going to be kind. If it's just fake, they're going to see right through it. They know you almost as good as you know yourself. They're going to see. And what the Bible say about that? 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You're not so shining by turning over a new leaf, by doing some New Year's resolution. You're going to have that private time so God can help you in your personal life. Don't try to fake it till you make it. I need God's help to be the right kind of husband. I need God's help to be the right kind of dad. I need God's help to be the right kind of friend. So I'm going to have my private time so He can help me with my personal life. The best thing that I can do for my wife is lift up the name of Jesus. The best thing I can do for my kids is lift up the name of Jesus. The best thing I can do for my close friends is lift up the name of Jesus. Hebrews 11:5 says, Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. So if I'm lifting up the name of Jesus, my wife can say, I have a husband that lifts up the name of Jesus. I have kids that say, my dad today is doing his best to lift up the name of Jesus. If I have friends that I'm trying to so shine in front of so they can glorify the Father, I have a friend that lifts up the name of Jesus. So lift up the name of Jesus in your private life. Lift up the name of Jesus in your personal life. Let Him help you be what you need to be. And number three, finally, lift up the name of Jesus in your public life. In your public life. John 12:32, we read it. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So we're supposed to be out in public as well. Mark 16:15, go ye out into the public Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Lift up the name of Jesus. And to every creature. Luke 4:23. Go out to the public, into the highways and hedges, and compel them. What's compelling? Lifting up the name of Jesus. And to come into my house that it may be filled. We're supposed to go out to the highways and hedges and lift up the name of Jesus, and that His house may be filled. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. How do we reason? Lift up the name of Jesus. Acts 18:4. And He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded. How do we persuade? Lift up the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. How do we persuade? By lifting up the name of Jesus. So we ought to have an example of lifting up the name of Jesus in our private life, in our personal life with our family and friends, but also out into the public. Yesterday I was eating breakfast with Brother Steve, and a fellow was sitting there, and he goes, "Hey, this is our pastor." And the guy says, "Yeah, give him a sermon for tomorrow, Brother Steve." So thank you for writing this for me, Brother Steve. But out in public. In public. We're going to be in public. Lift up the name of Jesus. How do we preach the gospel? By lifting up the name of Jesus. How do we compel people to come in so His house will be full? By lifting up the name of Jesus. How do we reason? By lifting up the name of Jesus. How do we persuade? By lifting up the name of Jesus. So we lift up the name of Jesus in our private life. So tell Him in secret, "Hallowed be Thy name." We lift up the name of Jesus in our personal life and let our light so shine before men, and having that testimony that we please God. In our public life, we sincerely lift up the name of Jesus. First of all, by praying in public. Praying in public. And I mentioned this earlier. Don't eat a meal without praying and thanking God for it out in public. That's an example. Now, you ought not, you know, get everybody's attention. Hey, 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 everybody hush, we're going to pray. Don't do it that way. I think I told you about it. We had a missionary's son stay with us one time. We went out to eat, and I told him, I was like, "All right, when we're fixing to pray, and when we pray, the Bible says lift up holy hands. So we're going to lift up our hands so everybody in here knows that we're praying." And he's like, "So," and I'm cracking up. So we don't do it to be seen, but we ought to lift up His name by praying in public. We ought to lift up His name by listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells you to witness to somebody, do it. If the Holy Spirit tells you to encourage somebody, do it. And we lift up His name by preaching the gospel. That's just sharing the gospel. So, lift up the name of Jesus this year in your private life. And you're like, "Well, I don't even have one." Get one. Get one. You need to have that private time with God, because He'll see you secretly and He'll bless you openly. And then lift up the name of Jesus in your personal life. Everybody knows you, but you need to have the testimony that you please God. And then do your part to lift up the name of Jesus in the public. Pass out tracts. If God gives you an opportunity to witness, do that. So let's all do our best this year to lift up the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. The altar's open. If you need to be saved, we'll come show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. But if you'd like to come and ask God to help you in your private life and in your personal life and in your public life, the altar is open. Brother Derek.